Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship. We're glad you're here with us this day, this almost sunny summer Sunday. It is ever our joy to be together in the presence of God who loves us and in the presence of one another, the presence of a community of God united by Scripture, united by faith. Today we will be wrestling with a difficult scripture together, but it is something that we get to do together, and it is a joy that we do so. Friends, let us turn our hearts and minds away from the things that distract us, away from the things that call to us, and turn ourselves over to a God who loves us. Let us begin our time of worship this morning by singing together our first hymn, number 635, We Know That Christ Is Raised and Dies No More. I'd like to invite our scripture reader to come forward now.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through to chapter 5, verse 11, and can be found on page 152 of the New Testament. The believers share their possessions. The group of believers was one in mind and heart. None of them said that any of their belongings were their own, but they all shared with one another everything they had. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God poured rich blessings on them all. There was no one in the group who was in need. Those who owned fields or houses would sell them, bring the money received from the sale, and hand it over to the apostles. And the money was distributed to each one according to his need. And so it was that Joseph, a Levite born in Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means one who encourages, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and handed it over to the apostles. But there was a man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property that belonged to them. But with his wife's agreement, he kept part of the money for himself and handed the rest over to the apostles. Peter said to him, Ananias, why did you let Satan take control of you and make you lie to the Holy Spirit by keeping part of the money you received for the property? Before you sold the property, it belonged to you, and after you sold it, the money was yours. Why then did you decide to do such a thing? You have not lied to human beings, you have lied to God. As soon as Ananias heard this, he fell down dead, and all who heard about it were terrified. The young men came in, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife, not knowing what had happened, came in. Peter asked her, "Tell me, was this the full amount you and your husband received for your property?" "Yes," she answered, "the full amount." So Peter said to her, "Why did you and your husband decide to put the Lord's Spirit to the test? The men who buried your husband are now at the door, and they will carry you out too." At once she fell down at his feet and died. The young men came in and saw that she was dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. The whole church and all the others who heard of this were terrified. Amen. We'll now continue our service by singing together hymn 522, "The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising."
Please be seated. As we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading, let us first offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, that as we wrestle with a difficult scripture, you would help us to hear your voice within it all the same. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we would come to deeper faith and understanding, to greater joys in your presence. I pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, when I was at seminary, I remember in particular one class, we were wrestling with a difficult scripture, and our professor turned to us and she asked, "What would you do with this scripture on Sunday morning?" And many people gave the answer, "I would skip it and do something else." Well, she said, "You're allowed to do that. That is your choice. But keep in mind, we should not run away from difficult scripture. Because when we wrestle with difficult scripture, it leads us to greater joy and depth of understanding. The longer you wrestle with the scripture, the more it will tell you in the process. And I guess it's up to you whether or not I did a good job in wrestling with the scripture this week. I decided not to back down from what I think is a very difficult but also very well-known scripture in the book of Acts. It comes to us from near the beginning when the apostles are a small community still of only 5,000 people, and they are growing and facing a new problem, and a problem that in many respects we still face today. How are we going to take care of our fellow believers? How do we take care of each other as a society? And their response to this question was to pool together their resources, to give people according to their needs. But the apostles weren't really cash rich, and so members of the community stepped forward, would sell fields they own or houses they owned, and give all of these proceeds of sales to the apostles to distribute amongst believers. It is in the midst of this caring, this giving, this unbridled generosity that we find Ananias and Sapphira, a couple whose intentions and motivations are completely unknown to us. We don't know why they did what they did, but we do know a lot about this story. They decide to sell a piece of property and keep some of the money for themselves, donating the rest of it to the early church. Ananias goes to deliver the money to Peter, maybe sending Sapphira away with the rest, and goes and lays the money at the apostles' feet. This is something that people have been doing on a regular basis, coming before the apostles, showing reverence, laying the money at their feet to support the early believers. But Peter's response to this cup to Ananias is different from normal. He is not filled with gratitude. Instead, Peter responds, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept some of the money for yourself?" Peter seems to know of Ananias' deception, and the way he phrases it leads me to believe it's because of the Holy Spirit that Peter is aware. Because he does not say to Ananias, "You have lied to me." He says, "You have lied to the Holy Spirit." Peter expresses his confusion at the decision, saying, "Didn't the property belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money still at your own disposal? What made you think to do such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but to God." Peter makes a very good point here. The money did belong to Ananias, both in its property and in its selling, and he is free to do with it what he chooses. But I think Peter is leaving out the very important social peer pressure of those around him who are giving money to the church and are in turn receiving adulation and praise. Peter is leaving out how the church is in desperate need of money to survive and to feed its hungry people. There are a lot of pressures here at work, but Peter's message still stands. You have lied to human beings, but much more importantly, you have lied to God. Ananias hears Peter's words and then falls over and dies. It is important to note here that Peter does not strike him down with his words. It's very obvious to us that Peter's words are what led to his death, but Peter does not call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to strike this man down. His body is taken away and promptly buried, as was Jewish tradition at the time. Sapphira comes in 3 hours later, and somehow nobody has told her what has happened to her husband, which is probably a bad sign. She stands before Peter and he questions her, "Is this the price you and Ananias got for your land?" Peter knows the answer is no. Sapphira knows the answer is no. But she responds anyway, "Yes, this is the price." Peter responds harshly once more, saying, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? The men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out too." She falls over at his feet and dies. And the whole church is seized with fear, which I think is a perfectly reasonable response to what has happened. People have been giving generously and kindly to the apostles and to the early church. And when this couple gave money but didn't give everything they had, they were struck down dead. Except that's not the reason that they died. It was not that they withheld money from the church. Peter says, it's your money. You can do with it what you want, my man. But the issue remains that they lied to God Almighty. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They were dishonest with their intentions and their offerings before God. Their sin is not being stingy with their wealth. It is that they professed to the Holy Spirit that they were giving everything they had to the church for its success, all the while holding back for their own gain. This is something that I think about a lot. I think about it almost every week, whether or not the scripture is giving such a message. I say that I am dedicated to the church, but I wonder, am I truly giving everything I have to it? I certainly feel like I'm giving everything I can. Because I'm reminded when I think of this story of a much gentler version that Jesus told to his disciples. They were at the temple watching people put money in the treasury, and a woman walked up and put 2 coins into the treasury offering. Jesus said to his disciples, "She has given more into the treasury than all others who came before her, because they gave out of wealth, but she has given everything she has." A message that is similar to one today. To give everything we have to God. A message that still rings true for us in the modern day. Because God is calling us to give of ourselves for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, and for the sake of the church. And that's a tall order these days. I know that times are tough. Cost of living has gone up dramatically. When I first moved to Scotland, garlic powder at Sainsbury's cost 75 pence. And now it's over a pound. And even then, it had gone up from 65. Petrol's higher, electricity's higher, gas is higher. Everything costs more. It costs more just to live. But in that same vein, it costs more to run our church. And if we don't take the time to consider the difficult question, am I doing as much as I can? Am I giving as much as I can to the church? If we never ask ourselves this question, there is no opportunity to increase our giving, which means we will never keep up with rising costs. I hope that you are listening to my words carefully this morning because I have tried my best to choose them carefully. I do not believe that you should go home, sell your house, sell your field, and give all of the money to the church. As helpful as that might be, you still have to have a place to live. You still need to be able to feed yourself. And unlike the early apostles, we don't all live in the church together. It might be a fun sleepover, but I think it would be hard to heat it in the winter. At the same time, I don't want you to hear me say that this scripture doesn't apply to us, because it does. God is calling us to give of ourselves for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the church. If we fail in our devotion, spending our time and our money on things that could have gone to our church, we will undoubtedly struggle and fall given time. Not just because of financial reasons, mind you. A church with followers who are dishonest with each other and most importantly, dishonest to God. Well, that's not much of a church at all, is it? Friends, the scripture today is a difficult one, but we are called to give to our churches. we are called to give to Christ's ministry. We are not called to give money to the church so we can pay the bills. We are called to give to our church to support the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yes, sometimes that means paying the bills, but that is not the purpose for the gift. Why we give is just as important as how much we give. We are giving because we are called to do so, to give ourselves to the church in gratitude for all that God has given us. God gave us this earth and called it good. God gave us our life and called us good. God has given us freedom from our death. That is a tall bill to repay. I'm not asking you to give everything that you have. What I am asking of you is much more simple than that. I am asking you to take a little time this week to look at your finances and to look at how much you're giving to the church and ask yourself this question. Do I think God is happy with the amount of giving from me? Do I feel that this is the best that I can give at this time? Peter only wanted Sapphira and Ananias to be honest with themselves and to be honest with the Holy Spirit. And if you honestly think that you are giving as much as you can ask no more. That's all anyone is ever asking of us, is to simply do our best. God is no exception. God wants you to do your best too. But if you take the time and discover you can give a little more, every little bit helps. Every donation is received with gratitude and with joy. Friends, we are still called to be devoted to our church and to our Savior. And I hope that you will take some time this week and ask yourself, am I doing everything that I can? And if you find that the answer is yes, I believe I am, then we will continue to do our best together to serve Jesus Christ, to serve one another, and to share God's message with those around us. This is the good news of our scripture today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, you call us to your service. You call us time and time again. Help us to live up to the name of Jesus Christ, that we could give all that we have just as he gave everything for us. We know that we can never repay all that you have given us, but trying our best still counts. We ask that you would bless us this day as we take time to ask ourselves if we are giving enough, if we believe that we are doing enough, and to give us joy in our hearts when we settle on what we believe is our best, that we might continue serving you together, giving all that we have. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us close our time of worship together by singing our final hymn, number 341, Blessed Are They. Whether you depart after our final amens or after a time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge and benediction when you go. Friends, both Christ and the Apostle Peter remind us today that God is only asking that we do our very best, that we give of ourselves as much as we can for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the church. God is not asking that we sell everything, but that we give everything that we can. So let us continue to do our best to be honest with ourselves and honest with God, sharing all that we have with each other. And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us always.